Hello, I'm Mariëtte Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to understand ourselves, deepen our relationships, and strengthen our emotional well-being. Thank you for tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series introducing you to professionals helping us live our best life. Today's topic is how to navigate the online high school route successfully. Having your child attend an online high school can be an excellent option, but what do you need to know to really make it work? This episode offers you a discussion of the benefits and challenges related to online schooling, along with crucial issues like value-driven education, entrepreneurial and real-world skills, and academic achievement. My guest is Wayne Langridge, CEO and founder of WFA Online High School, CEO of WFA Consult, and financial advisor from Midrand. Welcome, Wayne.
Hi, good morning, Mariëtte.
Wayne, could you start by filling us in on your career background?
Would like to. Mariëtte, if I could start off with matriculating, going to the army, being part of operations in Angola. Maybe I'm going back too far, but allow me to go back that far. Went to a town and then I picked up a book, Steve Biko by Donald Woods. I read the book and that made me go to varsity and study law. Completed law, Stellenbosch, knew it wasn't for me, ended up going to then Coopers Lybrand, which is PwC today, did articles, left them, went into an accounting legal practice, did that for about 3-4 years, and then I met a salesperson, an insurance salesperson, a big guy. I should actually not mention that. He was big and he was fat, but we just clicked and the guy just, everything just fell into place. And that made me become an insurance salesperson for the past 30, 35 odd years. And today, 65 years of age, I'd like to add value instead of just thinking of my own well-being. That's more or less my career in a nutshell.
Thank you, Wayne. As I mentioned, you're the CEO and founder of WFA Online High School. I'd like to know, what led you to found the school?
That's important. That's a very important question. I registered the school as a religious, not exactly religious. We registered it as WFA Christian Business High School. Now, why link religion to it? I honestly believe that one out of every 7 days within a week, one of those 7 days, you need to pay attention to your mental well-being. That's when you meet with family. That's when you go to a building of your choice and you can share, you can become involved in prayers with other people, whether it's Muslim, whether you're an atheist, whether you're a Christian. That's besides the fact. But we want to teach learners, take 1 day per week, and specifically devote that to your mental development, mental well-being, etc. And if we expect learners to do that, then we must be in a position to tell them up front that we do it ourselves. It's all about example. So that is the one. The one is mental well-being. And it always links up with what's right, what's wrong, what's fair, what's just. And the second one is, second reason, I'm 65 years of age and hopefully I've learned enough, I've made enough mistakes to try and teach children age 13 to 19 to do things different, to do things better. There are better ways. Maybe I can transfer some of my experience. That's the second reason. And the third reason is we are registered as a business school. And I believe in today's day and age, political environment, economic environment, we have to teach learners to fish. We need to teach people to look after themselves. So it would add up with mental health, experience, and teach learners to fish. Those would be the three. Academics, don't get me wrong. Academics is very important, but academics is also very unimportant. Don't forget to place the emphasis on the most important development in life.
Thank you for that clarity. I can see you're very clear on that. What is your vision for the school?
I thought about that long and hard, and I thought what would be the right decision. Now, if I don't tell you it's to be the best, then I'm not a male. If I don't tell you that, I'm not a male. If I don't tell you it's to be the best. But I think once we've gotten there, I think it's our duty to show all other schools how to become the best. I think that's the objective. Because what we need to understand is the importance of education. We at WFA alone will not solve it. On our own, we'll not solve it. And if you cannot get other people to be part of the journey, to take care of themselves, take responsibility for their own futures, and that's the important part. Is how do we become the best, and how do we teach all other schools to become as good as what we are? That's our vision.
Let's step back and take a broader view. What does online schooling in general entail, and how does it differ from in-person schooling?
Now, Mariette, I'm not a teacher, so I may yet. I should actually have asked the principal to answer that question for you. But online schooling is you attend school from home. To put it differently, you can actually attend school by sitting on the loo if you'd like to. Right. Online schooling is exactly what a bricks and mortar model does, but it's just from a different location. And it's from your own home. It is attending live lectures via some other electronic device, whether it's via your cell phone, laptop, desktop. That is what online schooling is. Exactly what, being 65 years of age, I went to a bricks and mortar model or building. It's exactly that environment, because we still believe we need to duplicate that environment. We're adding different benefits, but how do we duplicate that environment from home and create convenience?
Wayne, you've just mentioned that the learners attend school in real time, the learners at WFA. Could you explain?
Mariette, we have a learner management system. You'd go onto your computer on your cell phone. You'd actually log in. You'd log into our learner management system. And the company which designs and develops that is Signify. You'd log into that. And what would happen is we'd actually start our classes by recording who is in the class and whom not. It's school policy. Your camera has to be on. So you can actually physically interact with the teacher while the teacher's teaching. You can actually ask questions. You can put up your hand in class. It's like interacting with someone via a Teams meeting. And you know the option. You can actually put up your hand and ask a question. That's exactly what happens in our classes. It's a live interactive lesson. You can ask questions, and the teacher's going to answer your questions right there and then.
Yeah, because I don't think all online schools have that option.
Definitely not. You can go online and you can, and I'm not going to mention names. I don't think I have the right to do that. But the majority of online schools will require of you to go and read a lot of text. A lot of text is involved. And the objective is to keep costs down. The objective is to cut back on the number of people employed. And we disagree with the approach. And we do believe that our approach will reap the benefits in the long run by following a certain approach, incurring the losses now, run up the costs now, but in the long run, it will come back and serve us good.
Thank you. Why do you think do many parents consider online schooling?
Why do people consider online schooling? I think one of the most important things is we provide private education quality at public school cost. That one first thing. So you can actually, you can send your child to Hilton College, Michael House, or you can go to Waterkloof, Menlo, or you can go Gosfontein, or you can go, you can attend Office for that matter, even Paul Roos. So we would give you, we would provide at least the same quality, and then we'd add a lot of other benefits, like, for example, convenience, safety, especially the fact that, and I'm not going to discuss my own political views, but seeing that the police has failed society, safety has become an enormous issue. Flexibility, we have some international sports achievers. That child travels, you know, and to expect of that child to attend a live class tomorrow morning at 10, yet he's supposed to be on an athletics track, just doesn't work. So what you'd find is convenience, safety, flexibility. A child can go back and review a recorded lesson as many times as he'd like to until he really understands that. And I think another very important reason would be children with emotional constraints. If I can put it, we have learners who can't... they have medical reasons not to have their cameras on, for example. Right, that's the emotional state they are in. So a very big benefit online schooling is that the range of learners we'd actually cater for, the most intellectual, best sport people, to someone that cannot fit into a classroom. So we cater for far wider range of learners.
Wayne, from our pre-talk, I know that you are well aware of the challenges of online schooling. Could you elaborate?
I do believe that we believe that social interaction for any child, it's very, very important, social interaction. And this is that's one of our main challenges is... How do we get learners to interact with other learners? Now, so what we do at WFA is we would run an in-person event at the end of each term. At the end of last term, the people in Gauteng visited the ice rink. We would have every second Wednesday, we have a WFA Connect period, let's call it that. All learners then jump onto their cell phones and they interact. So all the grade 8, so you'd find someone in Cape Town talking to a grade 8 learner in up in Gauteng or where there's in Namibia. We have learners in the UAE as well, Lesotho, Namibia. So that child can actually interact with someone that's behind his computer in Namibia, for example. We have clubs, we have a book club, chess club, e-gaming, we have a running club. It is something which we are very concerned about, is how do we bring that social interaction? How do we get children to interact? And I think what we do is, and I think I've told you that every second Wednesday we have a business discussion. We have a business discussion, so we get learners to interact with their peers, etc. But we also expose learners to opinions from real-life business owners. We've had a motivational speaker, for example. We believe in motivation plays a very big role in a child's life. So that challenge, we are very aware of the way we have addressed it. I believe we actually expose children to far more opinions, far more than any bricks and mortar model can ever do. And that's one of the major benefits of widening, opening, enlarging a child's view of the world is... How do you expose that child to an American general talking to a classroom about what's the benefit of making up your bed this morning? So it's our responsibility to develop the worldview of the child, and I think that's one of the extramural activities. How do we actually breach that? And then I think another big challenge is engagement and supervision, because you must remember that child sits at home. And that concerns us. I do believe in the online space, it actually forces a closer relationship between the school and the parent. Let me give you an example. If your child does not attend the lecture which is enrolled for, a cell phone SMS gets sent because the child has to log in, right, has to log in, camera's on. If he doesn't do that, the parent has been notified immediately by a cell phone. Your child is not attending his lecture. Right. So I think it's a challenge. It's an enormous challenge, but it also has a different benefit. It gets parents more involved, for example. Yeah, extramural activities, engagement, supervision. And how do we address that? And how do we actually use that challenge to achieve other benefits which your bricks and mortar model does not achieve?
You mentioned the word responsibility earlier, and I was thinking about the various parties who carry responsibility in this context. Let's take a look at firstly what the school puts in place. You have mentioned several things already. Secondly, what parents need to put in place. And thirdly, the responsibility of the learner. In the first place, would you like to say more about what WFA puts in place to optimize learners' education and development?
To answer that question, Mariette, I believe if you want the best result, it starts with your principal and your teachers. Right. And I think that that approach to life, it applies to whatever you do in life. Is the very first question is, what is my responsibility? If you address that question first, right, if you solve that, everything else will be solved. So we are very concerned about, do we have happy teachers? Do we have teachers that have bought into our vision, that have bought into our model? During this past week, social media, our principal did a post on social media, and she said something very profound, and she said that you rise to your goals, but you'd always fall to your systems which are in place. How do you develop the self-esteem of a child? How do you run classrooms? The quality of your learner management system? Do we continuously expose learners to the opinions of other people? How do we develop the worldview of learners? Yeah, once again, if I can repeat myself, academics, very, very important. Academics, very, very unimportant. And it depends on how you're going to look at it. So we have an open door policy. Parents have direct access to my cell phone. They can phone me on my cell phone. Although we believe that we need to empower our teachers. And we believe that the most important relationship is between our teachers and the parent. Our teachers and parents, that we have to get right. So teachers have to understand that responsibility. They are responsible for the education of your child. And we believe we have a good teacher on board. If there's no questions, ends up on the principal's desk. No, a parent should not interact with our principal. Then we know our teachers are happy. They've bought into it. They've managed it. They've taken responsibility. As soon as you have a teacher that felt heard and valued, because I think that's what's gone wrong in our system. Teachers don't feel heard and they don't feel valued. So, and if I can repeat myself, business discussions, social media, motivational videos, you know, Mariette, and that's why life orientation, all parents know about the subject life orientation, grade 8 to 12, it's compulsory. It's one of the compulsory subjects. We believe life orientation is the heart of our school. Everything is about the self-esteem of the child. Get the child to like him or herself, develop his thinking. Everything is about thinking. Everything is about how you think. And I think that's where we differ from all other online schools, all other bricks and mortar schools, is what we'd say is if a child, upon leaving grade 12, has an average G or an average F in matric, it doesn't matter, but the child can turn around and say, I can change the world. Then we have achieved the level of thinking which needs to be done, because that child will look after itself, right? And I believe that's why you'd find things like business talks, motivational speakers, motivational videos. How do we bring mental well-being into our curriculum? And that's our responsibility. So the responsibility is, What do we do? And I think that's what the question was about. Principals and teachers, exposure to third parties. Are we approachable? Are we approachable? I don't believe anyone within management is that important not to manage the most simple question or the most simple. And I believe that's the culture we build, is that I am no better than anyone else. No better. And that's my responsibility as CEO of the school. Teachers have to understand nothing makes of you a better person versus someone else, nothing. And if that is your approach to life, value humans, value other humans the way you cherish your own life. And yeah.
In the second place, then, what do parents need to put in place?
We have a parent WhatsApp group, so we expect parents to join that WhatsApp group. We expect parents to join our assemblies, right? At the beginning of the term, we have an assembly. But our assemblies take place the evening before the school starts. So it's after hours. So we would do from 7 to 8, it would be English Afrikaans, and from 8 to 9, English Afrikaans. And we alternate that. And we do it after hours because we want to involve parents, right? And, you know, I believe all other schools will hold the assemblies the morning the school starts, right? So our approach, our thinking is far different. I think the one would be is become involved. And you don't need to become involved because you want to become involved. The more you become involved, the more it will impact your child. It's always about what do I do to develop my child. It is like I quite often say, and I've already told you, 1 out of the 7 days per week, do you spend time to protect your mental health, etc.? And exactly, funny enough, personal opinion. You know, I go to church not because I like church, but it's the example I set for my children. I try to teach my children, look after your mental health. These are one of the ingredients. So whether you go with a group of parents to a church building or you go out to a farm and you socialize and you're people of the same values, what do you do to set the right example for your child? And I think once again, we ask parents, just do one thing. Day in and day out, just tell your child something very simple. If you would learn to tell your child, I love you, I believe in you, keep going, work hard, irrespective of the results, just repeat that day in and day out, and don't be concerned about the report he brought home yesterday. Don't. Forget about it. You've got one responsibility. Love you. Work hard, you have the capability, repeat that for the next 5 years and you'll do far better than talking about any report. And you will, your child will get to the results.
And then the child, the learners themselves, that's the third question. What are the responsibilities of the learners?
The responsibility of the learner is to know and understand. I think, to write myself, we had a Dr. Joseph Kansema. It was a Wednesday discussion. So this guy's a pastor. He runs his own church. And his message to our learners had nothing to do with religion. He tried to tell our learners that by 1920 years of age, you've more or less wired your brain. Your brain is more or less wired. So grade 8 to 12, that's the last 5 years in your life, which is going to impact the rest of your life. It's going to impact the rest of your life. So what he said, and I believe it was very profound, he says, you have one chance at this, one chance. Grade 8 to 12, one chance in life to shape the rest of your life. So I think the responsibility of a learner is to know that. They need to know this is your one and only chance to rewire your thinking, discipline, norms, boundaries, work ethic. This is your last chance. I think very important, homework. During the past week, we had a teacher, our engineering teacher, that did a social media post. And being in engineering, he spoke about, he gave 3 tips to parents. And what this guy had spoken about was, it's not about graphic design. It's not about engineering drawings. It's about discipline. Do you have discipline? And the very first discipline is, have you done your homework? Whether you do it good or bad, that's not the point. The point is, have you done your homework? Just build healthy habits. And I think that's what the teacher tried to say. Build habits. Your 5 years of your life will predict the next 60, 70, 80 odd years of your life. 5 years and you have one shot at it. The learner's responsibility to know that. It's a learner's responsibility to know. He's got one shot at it. If you don't make it work now, you're going to end up in a shack.
What I found very interesting, and I'd like to refer listeners to your website, to the school's website, and there I saw that your teachers are shareholders. Could you explain?
Yes, Maria. I believe that ties up with the school's responsibility. The school's responsibility is, if we don't have happy teachers on board, don't expect the child to achieve its full potential. If you don't have happy teachers, so the child is not the most important person in this chain of events. Well, the parent is not. The teacher is the most important. Get that right and everything else works. So we have come up, once again, and I'm not going to go into why I studied law and the unequal distribution of wealth in the world. I'm not going to go there. But I do think, right, if I can put it in a different way, there needs to be a more equal distribution of wealth. We can't afford 13 families to own virtually the entire world the way it is today. It doesn't work. So teachers need to be remunerated fairly. And the one way to remunerate them fairly would be to make them shareholders. So shareholders builds responsibility. Shareholders builds happy teachers. Being a shareholder makes a teacher feel heard, valued. Because you can imagine, if you're a shareholder, all our teachers join a shareholders meeting. And every teacher knows I have the opportunity to talk. And I quite often tell our teachers that if you don't voice your concern, you're an unethical person. If you don't tell me that you're unhappy, you are an unethical person. That's what I tell them. And I'm not sure whether I'm supposed to tell them that. But that's the culture we build. Is we run a very flat structure, very open door. We're only interested in the best, in their best opinions, best advice. That's what we're interested in because we believe that is what's going to make us the best. And I believe that the day we get to where we'd like to be, that's when we can tell all other schools that one of the things you're doing wrong, your teachers are not valued and heard. Most likely the most important is, I can tell you now already, you know, we have our sciences teacher did a doctorate in biochemistry. She moved from another online school, very, very big, very, very successful online school. Our English teacher was the principal of another very big, successful online school. Our 4 or 5 of our teachers come from very well-known high schools, the so-called pockets of excellence. They've come from pockets of excellence and they end up with us and they say, Wayne, I wasn't valued and heard. And that is within a school that is regarded as a pocket of excellence. Now, you can ask yourself, if that's what happens in the so-called pockets of excellence, how bad are things in dysfunctional schools? How are teachers really treated in dysfunctional schools? So to answer your question, teachers, it would always be about your teachers and your principal.
If a parent is wondering, when is the best time to enroll my child, what would you say?
Mariette, I believe you're not going to expect the answer. When you realize petrol has become too expensive, there's a time constraint, cost. Child self-esteem. Do I expose my child to the thinking of other people? Do I expose my child to motivational speeches? Is my child exposed to the best teachers, the best principal? And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. within the online schooling space. You can attend a bricks and mortar school today. Tomorrow, you can be in a classroom in an online space. It's as easy as that. It's as fast and as easy as that. So the best time to enroll is you find what prevents your child from achieving its full potential. Answer that question. Got nothing to do what time of the year. It's got nothing to do with learner management system. It is what is the need of the child now. Determine the need. So the need determines the time when to move, and not whether I'm halfway through a term at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the time to enroll. Ask yourself, what do I do to develop the full potential of my child? Answer that question, and that's the best time to enroll.
How can listeners contact WFA or follow them?
Mariette, the way people can contact us is go to Google, type in WFA online. It will take you to our website, and on the website you'd find the email address you're looking for. You'd find a cell phone number. You would even find a button on our website, please call me back, for example. That's the way we approach things. So you don't even need to give us a ring. You can actually instruct us, call me back, and we will be in touch with you. And you'll find that information on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok.
Thank you. And then, Wayne, you said you would like to conclude our conversation with a request.
Yeah. And my request would be to the public at large. I believe the public knows the stance, the condition, the position of education in our country. And I believe all parents, citizens understand that if we don't solve education in our country, there's no future for anyone. We'll end up where Zimbabwe's and where many African countries are. So the point I want to make is, or the request is, when you listen to the podcast, share it. Set a goal or requirement. Ask five other people to view it as well, and ask them to ask five more people, because WFA in itself cannot solve it on our own. Become involved. Take care of your own future. And by taking care of your own future, and this is not trying to promote what's important to us. It's in trying to promote what's important in the interest of society. We cannot fix the education on our own, and that's why that ties up with our vision. If you promote us, if our vision is to be the best and to show other schools how to become the best, the market is just too big for us to be concerned about what are we going to get out of it. The market is too big. It's not a concern. It does not worry us to share what we know, how we do things with other people, because there's room for lots more people that do things right and correct. That's where the space is. So become involved, promote us, join. You can actually sign up for our newsletter. Take care of your own future. Look after yourself.
Yeah, I can hardly add anything to that. Just thank you, Wayne, for spending time with us and for the clarity you offered on your view and your vision. And may your school and the way you do things, may that go from strength to strength.
Thank you very much, Mariette.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series, Calm, Clear, and Helpful, is produced by me, with original music by Mark Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.